This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. We want to come back to a subject we talked about at this time yesterday. Now, if you were with us, you'll recall we covered a protest in Lansing that jammed the streets. This protest was convened in the name of businesses suffering under the COVID-19 quarantine. But the protest ended up drawing people from a whole array of right-wing causes, including some white supremacist groups. And it got us thinking. There are so many small businesses struggling, finding ways to make it work. What would they ask for? We also know that today the Small Business Administration announced it's run through the $349 billion allotted for its Paycheck Protection Program. In the weeks to come, we're going to cross the map of Michigan, devoting some space to business under quarantine. Please do reach out if you have a story. We're going to start things off in Grand Rapids with Dan Boyles. He's the co-owner of a gift shop called Rebel. Welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
Will you tell us a little bit about the shop?
So we're a small gift shop, about 1,800 square feet, and we carry greeting cards and candles and books and all kinds of different gifts.
So how are things going with inventory in the store right now?
Just to give you an example of what happened this morning, puzzles have been a lifeline for people. If we can get a puzzle in, we can sell it. And mm-hmm. I placed a huge order about 2.5 weeks ago from one of our regular vendors. They just shipped us what they could, which meant I had to buy in large quantities versus how I normally do, because they have to ship in these huge caseloads so that they can limit how many people are in their factory. Mm-hmm. We just got those puzzles dropped off in our driveway a few minutes ago, and it changed the entire trajectory of our day, because we're like, oh my gosh, something that people want, we have to get it photographed. So that means that I have to take 4 or 5 different products, take them to my photographer who is in quarantine. She has to photograph those products, upload them to the site. Then we have to pick those products back up from her driveway and then quarantine them. And then, like, the other products that are in backstock, end up going onto the site right away. And that's the difference between whether or not we're getting business. And then, like I said, you know, I've had other companies that are in states that are not in shelter in place that don't really understand what's going on. And so they're being... they're having a hard time understanding that they need to ship it to our home address as opposed to the store, because we're not at the store most of the time. Other manufacturers have products that are sitting in containers in the harbor in New York. We have no idea when those things will get here. So anything that I can get, I said the other day, I feel like I'm selling at the, you know, market in Hunger Games, where oh my gosh, we just got a puzzle, you know. How can we get this to you? We've even had a pretty frank conversation. We have two storefronts. We had just opened a new concept a few blocks down the weekend that the shelter in place happened. So we've had a very frank conversation that we may only be able to open one storefront because we may not be able to have enough inventory to open both stores. And it's right. going to probably take me until September to fill the store back to the capacity that we had 4 weeks ago.
You've been trying to apply for some of the relief money that's available from the federal government. Do you want to fill us in on what loans you've applied for and just what the process has been like?
I have applied or contacted my banking institution about applying for the payroll protection loan that's available. And that was the one that seemed that would be most useful to us during this time.
If I can just jump in and explain, this is something that the Small Business Administration makes available, as people might imagine from the name of the loan, to help businesses keep their employees at least partially paid, if not fully paid, during the shutdown.
Yes. We have such a wonderful team that had come into place. And so it's been important for us to try to support our employees as much as possible while also supporting ourselves. And so this grant money is something that's available to help us to recoup some cost with rent and with that payroll. I've found just through our financial institution that within the first week, they received over 30,000 requests for this grant. And, you know, I'm a realist. They told me that they were not accepting any more loan applications and that they would put me on a waiting list. And since then, I've talked to a couple other small business owners who have spent, you know, hours and hours and days trying to go through, jump through the hoops to get this money secured and to apply for these grants. And we've just decided at this point, it makes more sense for us to try to move forward and to help ourselves and to try to figure out how to get some business going via our online retail store that we created in this emergency.
If you could wave a magic wand and change the application process, what would you do?
There are so many fears that we're all facing. It's hard just to do the basic things that need to be done each day. You know, we've been calling this quarantine brain. I feel like my brain is especially fractured right now as it comes to just doing the basic tools. So I would love very much if there was a way for us to just be able to go on a website that didn't seem like you were basically giving away all of your personal information to something on the internet that you have no idea if you're ever going to get a response or not.
Yeah.
So if there was a way through, you know, the state of Michigan or through the federal government for us to be able to go all to the same place and apply all at the same place, it would just, to me, that seems better than me trying to frantically run around and try to find a bank that hasn't been overwhelmed in order to get secured for some of this assistance.
As you mentioned, in the midst of trying to deal with loans or grant possibilities, you've also been trying to make this rapid pivot to online store. Before this, I think Rebel was brick and mortar only, right?
It was. You know, we've always kind of had pride in the fact that we were a Grand Rapids store and that people that lived in the city were proud to have this place that they could bring their friends and family and that it was a special place to kind of, you know, to come to when you were in town. And there's so many reasons why we opened our business in the beginning. And most of those reasons had to do with people and relationships and community. And so the online presence just sort of seemed, I don't know, almost like the enemy. You know, we're constantly having a conversation about things like Amazon and you know, with technology and people's phones being so readily available, it's a lot easier to do that. But what we've always experienced is that people love the process of coming in, and our customers are our friends and our neighbors and people that, you know, bring their dogs in. And so that's always been a big part of our initial goal. Obviously, in this crisis, it's become more about providing some comfort and some level of normalcy for people. So that's been, I've been telling people that our retail front right now looks like a combination between a war room and an Amazon fulfillment center. So it's, you know, it's been going as well as can be expected. We're nowhere near financially where we would be if we had our brick and mortar store open. You know, Mother's Day weekend is coming up. That's like our number two holiday. So things like that.
What do small businesses need from their communities most right now? Or maybe, you know, if there's anyone in a decision-making capacity hearing this right now from lawmakers.
I think the thing that we need most is just a little bit more clarity on what we are allowed to do. You know, there have been, because all of this happened so quickly and we all had to pivot on a dime, I feel like there's just a lot of uncertainty and just what it looks like for us. You know, we're looking at this deadline in a couple of weeks where supposedly we'll be able to go back to some sense of business, but we don't know what that means. Like, what does that look like for a retail store? How many people will we be able to have in the store? How will we check out customers in a social distancing setting? You know, these are things that if we had some sense of what was going to happen next, we could plan instead of being kind of dumped into this again.
What are your concerns about that recovery process?
Well, you know, just on a practical level, a typical Saturday at Rebel looks like 50 to 75 people at all times in the store with dogs and kids and strollers. And I just know that that's not going to be a reality in a world where social distancing may have to be our norm for the next, you know, year or so. And so I guess that that's the thing that I'm the most concerned about. What does it look like to have products that really people shouldn't be touching? And what does it look like for my staff to have to be not only doing a great job with customer service and ringing up customers in a busy store, but also keeping everything sterilized?
Is there anything that's making you feel optimistic at the moment? It's okay to say no, if that's the honest answer.
You know, I am by nature kind of a pessimistic person. And the thing that I have seen through this that has taught me to look at things differently is just that there is a sense of, there's a sense that people are strong and that our community is strong. We have been absolutely overwhelmed by people reaching out to us, trying to show us care and support in any way they can. And especially at a time when I'm very aware that positioning having a retail store where we're selling things like puzzles and candles are not necessities for people, and that there are people that can't, that don't know how they're going to afford to pay for their mortgages and for their food. So I've just been so happy to see that sense of community remain, and not only remain, but seem as though we're going to come out of this stronger. So that's been very encouraging to me.
Well, Dan, thank you so much, and good luck with the store.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure to speak with you today, April.
We're talking today with some small business owners around Michigan about how things are going, their challenges, and what they need right now if they're to survive the COVID-19 shutdown. We're glad to hear from you if you have a story to share. Let's move on to Marquette, where the world was just starting to wake up from winter when the virus hit. Bugsy Saylor is the founder of the Upper Peninsula Supply Company. Bugsy Saylor, welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, can you give us a sense of the size of UP Supply Company before the virus hit?
Yeah, so we're a small operation. I mean, I would say we're a micro business. It's me, one business partner, and one employee, and usually an intern. So that's it. And we have our online operation and then our retail brick and mortar store downtown Marquette.
Could you describe your product line for us?
Yeah, so Upper Peninsula Supply Company, we have Upper Peninsula screen printed t-shirts, you know, stickers and prints and posters. A good chunk of it is designed in-house, and then we work with other local designers as well.
And how long have you been in business?
We've been in business for 12 years now.
What happened to your sales when the shutdown happened?
I mean, we shuttered our doors for the store. So, you know, that went down to a flat zero. And it's down to just me. Everyone else is on unemployment. So I'm keeping the online sales going. And it was certainly scary for a bit in terms of the business. But we had a big successful online push, which gives us some cushion for the short time anyways.
What are your concerns about the long-term outlook with this?
If I'm thinking of the business sense of it, you know, we realize that, you know, we sell Upper Peninsula goods, and we think Upper Peninsula goods are an essential need, right?
Right.
But truthfully, we understand we're at the bottom of that list in terms of essential goods. You know, when people have financial concerns right now and health concerns and everything else, so. You know, we appreciate anybody's business we can get, but we understand we're not at the top of that list right now. But for us, you know, the tourist season is incredibly, incredibly important. And we hope that, you know, hopefully the economy is rolling by summer. And it's, I think, one of our biggest concerns is how eager will people be to travel. You know, so that speaks for a lot of small businesses, you know, in communities like Marquette, you know, who really rely on that tourist traffic.
Can you give us a sense of who that extended community is for you and maybe some of the other businesses that you're concerned about?
Yeah, our shop is right downtown Marquette, and I live downtown as well. So it's really community-centered town, and downtown it's full of all locally owned shops. small restaurants, local owners, and, you know, it's a ghost town. Everything's closed. So I usually get all my work done at coffee shops, and, you know, I miss all my favorite coffee shops from Velodrome Coffee in town to The Crib, and even just grabbing a muffin next door at Baby Cakes.
Marquette County has had, as of the time we're having this conversation, 27 COVID-19 cases confirmed and 5 deaths. That's not insignificant in a town of Marquette's size, but it is relatively low impact compared with what we're seeing in Detroit and Oakland County. Can you give us a sense of just what people you know make of the total shutdown of business?
Yeah, you know, it's, I think there's certainly frustration. You know, I'm frustrated, but, you know, it's, I'm trying to do my part to the best of my ability. And I think everybody's kind of on that page. What I think's hard for rural communities is we turn on the news and we see all the news stories are from the population centers from whatever state or country even that is being reported on. And that's where the decisions are being made as well. So it's a little harder for us to relate to that impact in a rural sense. But it took me some time to finally, you know, once I did my own research and started to understand, well, it's like there's potential for a greater impact in rural communities because we have an older population that is more at risk with fewer healthcare resources to begin with. So it's incredibly important that we don't ignore this in rural areas.
Bugsy, we understand that there's been really a lot of snow, even for the Upper Peninsula for this time of year. Would you say that getting snowed in at this point in full-on spring has compounded people's sense of really wanting to get out of the house?
Oh, boy. I think that's such an interesting part of the timing of COVID is that, especially here in the Upper Peninsula, we get one nice day and like that's like everybody's got the itch. You know, you just feel that energy of everybody wants to get outside and socialize and hang out. It's just that spring energy in the longer days. So it's so bizarre to feel that and then, you know, like locked out at home. So it's difficult. But yeah, we got another foot of snow this week. Thankfully, schools were already closed and everything. So it wasn't, you know, an issue. It was kind of a little eye roll worthy, perhaps.
Bugsy, hang in there.
Thanks. You as well.
That's Bugsy Saylor of Marquette's Upper Peninsula Supply Company. Let's shoot down to Traverse City now, where we just got word the annual Cherry Festival is canceled. So many of spring's pleasures just slipping through our hands. This is rough. If you're an ice cream lover, you've undoubtedly heard of Moomer's Homemade Ice Cream in Traverse City. It's a small family-run business still in operation, but you cannot stop by the farm right now and grab a scoop or two. John Plummer is part of the family that founded Moomer's and that still operates it, and he joins us now. John, I understand from the Moomer's truck. Is that where we're finding you today?
That's true. I'm actually back loading up for round two of deliveries today. So our truck is still on the road.
Will you tell us a little bit about your business?
Absolutely. So year 23 that we have been making ice cream treats and Moomer's Memories, both at the wholesale side and then more importantly the retail side of things when folks come out for a sweet treat with family and loved ones. So my mom, as a former first grade teacher, started it. And my middle sister, Becky, and I have both come on board as owners and operators and continue the Moomer's legacy in the Traverse City region.
What does work look like for you right now?
Work looks, we're happy to be working. We opened the first Friday of March with a crazy opening weekend where we handed out fast passes. It's a golden ticket, good for you and your group for a one-time use to bypass the line. Usually we have a lot of them redeemed during Cherry Festival. So now without Cherry Festival this year, you get the entire summer to redeem them. But today's work for me will prep out production on Mondays where all of our orders come in. Tuesdays I'm over in the creamery processing all of our fluid milk from our cows as whole milk, 2% milk, chocolate milk, so on and so forth. So we haven't told the cows about the COVID-19 yet, so they don't know. So they're still producing milk.
It's good to be a cow.
Tuesday and Wednesday is our production days for us. And then Wednesday and Thursdays are pretty big delivery days for us. And then, ironically, I try to take Friday off, which is weird.
How are grocery store sales going right now?
It's back to keep referring to Cherry Festival with their big news today. Is it's about equivalent to the week before July 4th or Cherry Festival for their volumes. Meijer specifically is more than what they historically order during that time period, and it's now on a weekly basis.
Wait, so you're saying people are stress eating ice cream?
Stress eating is one way to term it. The other one is comfort.
Yeah.
An indulgence. Ice cream as a sweet treat. It's a memory into fun and experiences that folks have had with our product. And now they get to try to relive those memories every bite at a time at their home.
Can you give some context for those of us who may be in other parts of the state, what it means that the Cherry Festival is not going to be happening this year?
It is the largest gathering of folks in our region on a yearly basis. So much so they've brought in the Blue Angels and the Air Force Thunderbirds. And it's a huge celebration of our local industry, the cherry. We are the cherry capital of the world. And so for that to be postponed until 2021 and also the economic driver on it will be significant. So now we get to extendo summer rather than a huge peak. I see it flattening out a little bit and trying to be some sort of, you know, a locals summer, if you will.
Yeah.
It's a huge announcement. I'm guessing it was a hard one for them to make, being the beginning of July, but that's a decision that they had to make.
There's something about ice cream that's so social, getting it hand-scooped, handed over the counter, or at the very least, it's something we generally eat with family and friends. Do you think there's any way to make up that feeling when we're physically distant from each other?
There is. There will be. We have a few tricks up our sleeve to maintain a 6-foot distance upon reopening. We will have some cone holders where we can place that ice cream cone in a holder, slide it across the counter, and then folks can pick it up from there. So the service portion, the handing the cone to the kid, the 5-year-old kid that's jumping up and down with excitement to get an ice cream treat, may be postponed for a bit. However, the experience of ice cream running down their chin, sitting on our deck overlooking our 80-acre dairy, will continue.
Well, Mr. Plummer, thank you for your time, and please save me a pint or two of banana bread, would you?
Oh, that's a good one. I will. My pleasure. Thank you.